prosperity rests upon a moral foundation. It is properly supposed to rest upon an immoral foundation. That is, upon a trickery, sharp price, deception, and greed. One commonly hears even otherwise intelligent people declare that no one can become successful in business. No one could get that rich without being dishonest, greedy, self-centered, uncaring. Thus, regarding business and prosperity, which should be a good thing, as the effects of dishonesty. A bad thing. Such a statement. It's superficial and thoughtless and reveals a total lack of knowledge of moral causation, as well as a very limited grasp of the facts of life. The spiritual or moral cause of moral order of causation is not different in principle, but only in nature. The same law obtains things unseen in thoughts and deeds as in things seen in the natural phenomena. Man sees the process of nature, objects, and acts in accordance with them. But not seeing the spiritual process, he imagines that they do not obtain, and so he does not act in harmony with them. Yet these principles and processes are just as simple and just as sure as this natural process. They are indeed the same natural modes of manifesting in the world of the mind. All parables and large numbers of the sayings of the great teachers are designed to illustrate this fact. The natural world is the mental world made visible. The seen is the mirror of the unseen. See, the upper half of the circle is no different than the lower half, but its sphericity is reversed. The material and the mental are not two detached arcs in the universe. They are two halves of a complete circle. The natural and the spiritual are not internal enemies, but in the true order of the universe are eternally one. It is in the unnatural, in the absence of function and faculty, where divisions arise and where man is wrested back with repeated sufferings from the perfect circle from which he has tried to depart. Every process is a matter, is also a process of mind. Every natural law has its spiritual counterpart. Take any natural object and you will find its fundamental process in the mental sphere if you rightly search. Consider for an instance the germination of a seed and its growth into a plant, with the final development of a flower and then back into a seed again. This is also the mental process. Thoughts are seeds which, fallen in the soil of the mind, germinate and develop until they reach into a complete stage, blossoming into deeds, good or bad, brilliant or stupid, according to their nature, and ending as seeds of thought to begin sown into other minds. A teacher is a sower of seeds, a spiritual agriculturalist. While he teaches himself, is the one who teaches himself is the wise farmer, who of his own mental plot. The growth of thought is as the growth of a plant. The seed must be sown seasonably, and the time is required for its full development into the plant of knowledge and into the flower of wisdom. While speaking of this, I pause and turn to look out my study window, and there, just yards away from my house, stands a tall tree, on top of which an imposing hook of from rookery hard by, as for the first time, had built a nest. A strong northeast wind is blowing so that the top of the tree sways back and forth violently by the onset of the blast, and yet there's no danger that the frail thing of sticks and hair of the mother bird sitting upon her eggs has no fear of the storm. Why? It is because the bird has instinctively built her nest in harmony with the principles that ensure the maximum strength and security. First, a fork is chosen as the foundation for the nest, and not a space between the two separates the branch, so that however great may be the swaying at the top of the tree, the position of the nest is not altered, nor is its structure disturbed, and then the nest is built upon a circular plan so as to offer the greatest resistance to any external pressure, as well as to obtain more perfect completeness within, in accordance with its purpose. And so, however the tempest may rage, the birds rest. The birds rest in comfort and security. This is the very simple and familiar object, and yet in its distinct obedience of its enlightenment, teaching them that only by order of one's deeds in accordance with the fixed principles is perfect surety, perfect security, and perfect peace obtained amid the uncertainty of events and turbulent tempests of life, death, sickness, the troubles. A house or a temple built by man is much more complicated than the structure of a bird's nest in a tree, and yet it is erected in accordance with the same mathematical principles which are everywhere evidenced in nature. And here is seen how man in material things obeys universal principles. He never attempts to put up a building in defiance of geometrical proportions, for he knows that such building would be unsafe, and that the first storm would all probability level it to the ground, if indeed it did not fall about his ears during the process of erection. Man in his building, material building, scrupulously obeys fixed principles in circles and squares and angles, and aided by a rule and plumb line and compass, he raises structures which will resist the fiercest storms and afford him secure shelter and safe protection. And all this is very simple, the reader may say, yet it is the simple because it is true and it is perfect. So true that it cannot admit the smallest compromise, and so perfect that no man can improve upon it. Man, through long experience, has learned these principles of the material world, and he sees the wisdom in obeying them, and has thus referred to them in order to lead up to the consideration of those fixed principles in the mental or spiritual world, which are just as simple and just as eternally true and perfect, and yet are at present so little understood by man that he daily violates them. Because ignorant of their nature and unconscious of their harm, he is all time inflicting pain upon himself. The mind, as in matter, in thoughts, as in things, in deeds, as in natural process, there is a fixed foundation of law upon which, if consciously or ignorantly ignored, leads to disaster and defeat. It is indeed the ignorant violation of this law which is the cause of the world's pain and sorrow. In matter, this law is presented as mathematical, and in mind, it is perceived as moral. But the mathematical and the moral are not separate and opposed. They are built by two aspects of the united whole. The fixed principles of mathematics to which all matter is subject are the body of which the spiritual is ethical. While the eternal principles of morality and mathematics, truisms operating in the universal mind, It is possible to live successfully apart from moral principles. It is impossible to live successfully apart from moral principles as it is to build successfully while ignoring mathematical principles. The end result is death, destruction. Characters, like houses, only stand firmly when built upon a foundation of moral law, and they are built up slowly and laboriously, deed by deed, for in building of character, the bricks are deeds. Business and all human enterprise are not exempt from this eternal order, but can only stand securely by the observance of fixed laws. Prosperity, to be stable and enduring, must rest upon a solid foundation, moral principles, and be supported by pillars of sterling character and moral worth. And an attempt to run a business in defiance with the moral principles, disaster of one kind or another is inevitable. The permanently prosperous men in any community are not its tricksters or deceivers, but are reliable and upright men. The Quakers are acknowledged to be the most upright men in the British community, and although their numbers are small, they were prosperous. The Jains in India are similar, both in number and sterling worth. They are the most prosperous of people. In India, these communities are found everywhere, where men of high moral character and reputation build enterprises, not by stealing. Whether they be called Coke, Trump, Clinton, Obama, men speak of building up businesses, and indeed, business is much a building as a brick house or a stone church. How about the process of building is a mental one? Prosperity, like a house, is a roof over a man's head, affording him protection and comfort. A roof presupposes support, and support necessities of a foundation, and the roof of prosperity then is supported by the following eight pillars of the foundation of moral consistency. Energy. Economy. Integrity. System. Sympathy. Sincerity. Impartiality. And self-reliance. Hey, this is Gerald Peters. Thanks for listening to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. As always, if you don't have a copy of my free book, You Don't Have to Die Broke, reach out to me by email, DM, or text message, and I'd be happy to give you a copy. God bless.